can take place only among those who are really anxious to be Krishna conscious. Discourses in the society of devotees can take place only among those who are really anxious to be in Krishna consciousness. Others cannot take part in such discourses. So, why do we want to hear? Krishna is describing more of his opulences. The more we hear about Krishna, right, the more fixed up we will become in practicing devotional service. But there are some conditions attached to this hearing. It is not that we just hear passively. Prabhupada says here, you know, in the purported text 1 of this chapter, that we should hear in the association of devotees. And he also speaks about what he means by devotees. We are talking about devotees who are really anxious to be in Krishna consciousness. So this is the type of association that we want to take. We try and associate with those who are either already fully Krishna conscious, or something we are not able to see with our blunt material senses. We beg for Krishna's mercy to be able to associate with such devotees. And at the same time, we are able to associate with other devotees who are anxious to become Krishna conscious. So because they are trying to be Krishna conscious, they will also share this same feeling or same idea about wanting to hear more about Krishna. See, the more and more we hear about Krishna, the more and more we understand him bit by bit. It is not that we will be able to understand him in full. That is, because even Krishna's opulence, Krishna is unlimited. There is no such thing as we saying that, yes, I have understood Krishna in full. Because Krishna is unlimited. So how are we able to understand him in full? Also, so one of the things is we want to associate with people around us who are anxious to become Krishna conscious. So usually, you know, like in India or in other places, we have they also call this such association satsanga association, whereby a professional speaker is paid to come to speak some Krishna katha. So he may speak some leela and then we get mesmerized, but when we go home, we are not inspired to change our lives to become Krishna conscious. We merely see these stories that we have heard, the sangha that we were in. You know, we may be hearing about Ram Katha or Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's various pastimes. So we might get some sentimental attachment. But once we go home, that's it, and then we just carry on with our material activities. But when we associate with devotees who are anxious to become Krishna conscious, they are hearing Krishna, they are hearing about Krishna so that they become more and more fixed up in Krishna, because they fall more and more in love with Krishna. The more you understand about someone, the more feeling you would develop for that person. This is quite natural, you know, whether if you read a lot about even a politician or a film star, you know, that is, if we are bound to, hey, guess what, you know, this politician is now, you know, head of, he's the minister for his, he has this particular portfolio in the ministry, in this particular ministry. Or do you know what has happened to this particular movie star? Do you know that he's just out of jail? So we know so much about him that we are also inclined to speak about him. So this happens, the more and more we hear and read about Krishna, naturally, a natural tendency will arise that we also want to speak about Krishna with others that we meet, especially those who are also trying to be Krishna conscious. Such devotees will appreciate hearing about Krishna. Those who are trying to be Krishna conscious, they will appreciate wanting to hear about Krishna. And what we mean by wanting to hear about Krishna, Krishna Katha doesn't only mean the pastime. Krishna Katha means not only pastimes. Krishna Katha includes pastimes, his relationship with devotees, how he creates this material universe, these opulences, and also Katha about his devotees. Because Katha about his devotees would also be related to Krishna, because devotees will be serving, because the stories we hear about devotees will be how they were serving Krishna. So in all ways, Krishna will be in the center of whatever we are reading or hearing. So this is wanted. So this is why Arjuna, not only for him but for the masses, he's requesting Krishna to speak more about his opulences. So this is why he will speak more about his own opulence. Whose opulence? Krishna's opulence. See, all of us, even as practitioners, students of this Krishna consciousness movement, we are at different levels of faith in Krishna. We have different levels of faith. Maybe we have developed some tiny little faith in Krishna, or we have hardly developed any faith in Krishna. Because ultimately, what do we want? What do we want? What we really want is to have complete faith in Krishna. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 2262, it is said, Shraddha Shastra Vishwasa Kahe Sudrida Nishchaya. Shraddha Shabde Vishwasa Kahe Sudrida Nishchaya. Krishna Bhakti Kaino Sarva Karma Kritahaya. So, what is the meaning of Shraddha? Shraddha means we are confident of firm faith, unflinching faith. The word is Sudrida, Sudrida Nishchaya. It means firm faith in what? Firm faith in this statement that by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. Or in another way, by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, all other duties are finished. So, how many of us can put faith or have such faith? I do not. So all of us have different levels of faith, but this is what we want to. This is what we want to aim at. We want to come to a level where we are convinced that just by doing Krishna's seva, everything is done. Then we do not owe any duties to anyone. This is also corroborated in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.5.42.
11.541. Yes. Deva Rishi Bhu Satanam Pitrinam Nasim Karolayam Rani Sarajan.
sarvatmanaya sharanam saranyam yato mukundam parityasatam.
Okay, one who has given up all material duties and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelter to all, is not indebted to the demigods, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even one's forefathers who have passed away. Since all such classes of living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, one who has surrendered to the Lord's service has no need to serve such persons separately. So this is the highest stage. This is what we want to attain. It is not that, you know, when we hear of this, we say, oh, this is too much. I'm not interested in this. If we are not able to do such a thing now, it is not that we rationalize and say, oh, this is not meant for me. Instead, we should be humble enough to aspire, oh, look at my condition. You know, I'm so wretched that I'm not even inspired by this statement. Instead, we should change, we should accept this statement. Accept the fact that we may not be able to do it now. I do not have faith. I do not have such faith in Krishna now. But I want to. I would like to. I'm inspired by those who have such faith. This we want. So, when we read such statements, or when some devotees say such statements, we should not rationalize, oh, this is not meant for me. This is too much. This is too high. Instead, we should be saying, oh, I'm inspired by this. This is what I want. But I'm so wretched. I'm not able to do this now. We can ask, so how we can come to such level? How can we increase such faith? So Prabhupada is saying we can increase this faith by hearing about his opulences. The more and more we hear about Krishna from devotees, devotees who are anxious to be in Krishna conscious, the more and more we will have faith in devotional service, and the more and more faith we will have in devotional service. Many a time, we may be doing so much service, right? But if we are not also hearing about Krishna, about his opulences, hearing Krishna Katha, what would happen? This no doubt some sukriti we are earning, but we may not develop some form of love towards Krishna, some attachment to his Katha. If we do not develop such attachment, what happens is, you know, when something happens later on, something negative happens, then we will be thinking, I've done so much. You know, why should this happen to me? I've done so much for Krishna. Why should this happen to me? Sometimes we think, oh, I'm doing so much service for the temple. I'm doing so much service, but so much so that we may not be devoting any time to hearing about Krishna. What happens? You know, it may, because we are not on that level, if we are very simple, you know, it's not that it cannot be done. If we are very simple, of course, you know, we will be doing out of bhakti. If not, you know, it will be a matter of time before one of these things can happen. One is, we may be doing that service because of some free gifts that come along with it. Free gifts come in the form, not as money. Well, it may come as money. For example, you know, you may be invited to speak and you get nice dakshin, which you may not use for Krishna. Or in more subtle forms, free gifts come in more subtle forms and we become attached to those. What are they? These come in the form of name, fame and adoration. Because we become attached to a particular service, because everyone is everyone is glorifying you, Prabhu, wow, you're doing so nice in that particular service. So, and this glorification seems to be maintaining us in our Krishna consciousness. The glorification that we are seeking or the glorification that we are getting, that seems to be what is maintaining us in Krishna consciousness. Not real love or not some attachment towards Krishna Katha. If we develop attachment to Krishna Katha, we will also come across verses, verses or instructions that these three gifts are the last thing we want. We do not want these three gifts. This, you know, but because we are doing, you know, apparent devotional service, externally it looks like devotional service, and when devotional service is performed, automatically many types of gifts come along. And we become stuck to these. So, and then over time, we become so much attached to these three gifts more than becoming attached to Krishna. This we don't want. So it is better, you know, for most, you know, most of us, we are conditioned to be enamored. Enamored by this name, fame and adoration. We say, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of the lines from Sikshashtaka, Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadishakamaye mama janmani janmani shvare bhavatat bhakti rahai sukhin pai. That means I do not want any followers. I do not want gold. I do not want na dhanam. I do not want any wealth. Na janam, nor do I want any followers. Material followers. Not do I want any beautiful lady. Kavita ma janani shakame. Mama janmani janmani shre bhavatat bhakti sahai sukhin pai. I only want your unalloyed devotional service. Unconditional, unalloyed devotional service. You know, we may say, we say this every day. But unless we are also hearing about examples of such personalities from our scriptures, and someone is always telling us these things, it very easily becomes parrot-like recitation. It's very easy to, you know, that it becomes parrot-like recitation. So the other condition about hearing more. So I'm speaking about hearing because, you know, Prabhupada is saying, you know, in this chapter, Krishna is describing his opulences so that we hear about such opulences. And by hearing about such opulences, we become more and more attached to Krishna. So, this is what I like to share about becoming more and more attached to this hearing. And there are other conditions. What are the other conditions relating to hearing? In the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.1.2, Dharma Pujito Kaitaro Tra Paramanirmaksharanam Satam Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Tivanam Tapo Dhyam Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Kutekim Vaparaya Nishvaraha Sadhyo Vidyavadyu Kate Tra Satibi Su Sushvi Takshana. So, in this verse, Srila Prabhupada translates, towards the end, by this culture of knowledge, and Srila Prabhupada includes two more words. What kind of hearing we must do? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. So there are two conditions here. You know, the hearing, we must do it attentively and we must do it submissively. So what does that mean? So often a time, you know, when sadhu is speaking Krishna Katha, we should try to focus on what he is speaking. With rapt attention. Don't be distracted, that's the word. Don't be distracted by, you know, people coming
your friends coming, your friends also coming to the assembly to hear. No need. We can catch up with them later. Lend your ears to the sadhu's words as he speaks Krishna Katha. Pay attention to what he's hearing. This is important. So, for example, when we do this, when real sadhu comes, right, then we'll be trained enough that at that time, yes, I don't want to be distracted. I just want to hear what he's going to say. That's one. Secondly, it is the mood with which we come to hear. The mood with which we come to hear is not one of wanting to get knowledge. We are not wanting to get knowledge for the sake of getting knowledge. Because it is very easy to come, you know, as commoners, when we read this, then we think, wow, this is very high philosophy, you know. I have to go back and impress upon my father and my mother who doesn't know these things, who are not following, so I have to go there and smash everyone. No, that's not the purpose. That's not the purpose why we have come to acquire this knowledge. Not to go back and debate with our wives or debate with our spouses or debate with anyone. No. Most importantly, we have come to find out how we can change our lives. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, he says three types of people come to hear Krishna Katha. One is that person who has come to check out the speaker. That means, let's see what he speaks. I want to check him out. Does he know his stuff? So this is one kind of speaker. The second kind of speaker, he comes to want to enjoy what is being spoken. For example, you know, some devotees say, you know, at the end of the class, that was such a nice class, that was such a nice class. And then the third party asked, so what did you learn? Oh, I don't know, but you know, it was so high, it was so nice. So this is all they are able to grasp. This is all they are able to get. But most importantly, the third type of person Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur speaks about, that's the type of person we want to aspire to be. Although we may be in category 1 or category 2, we want to aspire to be this third type of hearer. And what type of hearer is that? That hearer who goes there to the sadhu with an intention, I want to hear something from this sadhu about Krishna that will enable me to change my life to want to serve Krishna more. So if we come in that mood, then we are coming in a submissive mood. We are coming not to challenge and not to enjoy what is being spoken. That's very important. That's why, you know, earlier I was saying we invoke the prayers so that we want to be reminded. We remind ourselves that we've come to hear Krishna. We've come to hear about Krishna, not for ourselves, but for the pleasure of Krishna we are hearing. For the pleasure of Krishna we are singing. For the pleasure of Krishna we are hearing. Whether it is you or whether it is me, we have to remind ourselves that it is for their pleasure that we are here, not for our pleasure. So submissiveness means trying to getting something, being inspired by something and wanting to change our lives from what we have heard. This is wanted. So I read
Again, this is the purport in the same chapter in text 7. The last, for those of you who have your Bhagavad Gita, this is the last paragraph of the purport to text 7 of chapter 10. The second last paragraph, you know, Prabhupada writes about Krishna's opulences. Then he says in the last paragraph, these are some of the opulences of the Supreme Lord. When one is firmly convinced of them, he accepts Krishna with great faith and without any doubt. So how do we accept? We have to hear and we have to read. And he engages in devotional service. All this particular knowledge is required in order to increase one's interest in the loving devotional service of the Lord. Then he says, one should not neglect to understand fully how great Krishna is. For by knowing the greatness of Krishna, one will be able to be fixed in sincere devotional service. So this theme comes on again. By hearing and speaking, the more and more we put into this heart, this of ours in our head, right? The more and more we infect it with Krishna Katha, the more and more this heart disk will contain Krishna consciousness stuff, and less will be what we have already acquired all this while, and also other material things that we are acquiring every day. So it is natural, isn't it? As you know, if you go into your computer and look at your hard disk, you know, you click on properties, you'll see pink and then a blue line, a blue sector and a pink sector showing how much is used and how much is unused. So we want this used in Krishna consciousness sector to become wider and wider and wider. As that widens, we become more and more fixed in devotional service. So, you know, so there are many people say that God is great. Very often we say God is great. But like Srila Prabhupada said, how great is He? In order to know how great He is, we have to hear and read about His opulences. Then because these are details about His greatness. In this chapter, Krishna will describe some of these great qualities that He has, so that we can, as commoners, more for the commoners, so that from our material vision, we can see how Krishna exists in many places, or appreciate, not understand, but appreciate Krishna's existence. He starts with this, in this verse, He says, I am the source of all spiritual and material. In the verse that we are reading today, he says that He is the super soul in every living entity. And He says He is the beginning, the middle and the end. So there are actually so many places even in chapter 10 where Krishna repeats that there is no cause beyond Him. And He is the beginning. I'll give you some examples. In the second verse, Krishna says that not only, or rather in 10.8, He says, Aham sarvatya prabhavo mataha sarvam pravartate. That means, I am the source of both spiritual and the material world. Everything spiritual and everything material emanates from Him. So He is the source. So then, to clear a doubt, He also says in 10.2, I am also the source of all sages and the devatas. So even Rudra, Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, all the various devatas, Krishna says in 10.2 that He is also the source of them. Aham Adir Hi Devanam. So I am the source of all devatas. So he says that in 10.3 he says that he is beginningless, ajam and anadim. He is unborn and he is beginningless. So this actually becomes something very difficult for us to conceive. Why? Because based on our material experience, everything we know has a beginning and has an end. So now we are hearing about a personality who does not have a beginning, neither does he have an end. So in 10.20 he says that I am the beginning, the middle and the end of all beings. So before we were created he was around, and after our annihilation he will still be around. So he is there all the time. The purport of text 20. First, Krishna says, I am the super soul, Aham Atma. He addresses Arjuna as Buddha Kesha. In this verse, Arjuna is addressed as Buddha Kesha, which means one who has conquered the darkness of sleep. For those who are sleeping in the darkness of ignorance, it is not possible to understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself in various ways in the material and spiritual world. So, you know, we will not be able to understand Krishna with our material senses. We have to purify our senses in order to be able to understand Krishna. We are currently covered. So we are spirit souls and Krishna is also spirit soul. But there is a difference. Although both are souls, one is the supreme soul and we are just souls. We have Paramatma and Atma. So we are Atma and Krishna is Paramatma. So Krishna is saying that this he as super soul is seated in our heart. And actually this Paramatma is one of the forms of the Lord. Besides, you know, Krishna, he takes up Purusha avatar. From Krishna, he expands himself to Mahavishnu and then Chaturvyuha. And then from there, to create this material world, he expands himself as Mahavishnu or Karanadakashaya Vishnu, who is lying on this causal ocean. From him, and as he is breathing, inhaling and exhaling, so many material universes are being exhaled. At the same time, many are being inhaled. So many universes, not one, so many universes. So we are in one universe. So many universes are coming out as he is breathing, and in each universe he expands himself again, right? And this time from Karanadakashaya Vishnu he expands as Garbhadakashaya Vishnu, and Garbhadakashaya Vishnu is in every single universe that emanates from this Mahavishnu. There is one Garbhadakashaya Vishnu. He expands himself, and then from Garbhadakashaya Vishnu comes Lord Brahma, who creates, who does the secondary creation. But in all living entities, not only living entities, any animate and inanimate thing, Vishnu again expands himself as Hiranyakashipu Vishnu and goes into every atom and also into every living entity. So when he goes into every living entity, that's the form of Krishna, that's the form of Mahavishnu, that is, that we say, that we call super soul. So he is there in the heart together with us. We are the soul. He is there in the heart. And he is the witness, the overseer, and he is also the, the word is, upadrashta and anumanta. He is the overseer, that is the witness, and he is the permitter. So while he is there, he is just looking at us. He does not interfere in what we do. He leaves what we want to do, we do. He is not going to interfere, but he just witnesses what we are doing. At the same time, he is always ready, always waiting for us to surrender unto him. And we can come, you know, many a time when we are thinking of something taboo, not supposed to be thought about, not to be thought of, or something that we're not supposed to do, sometimes some conscience comes. So this is Paramatma, giving you, you know, telling you, this may not be right. But, of course, we will have the independence to act as we desire. We do not have to accept, you know, that whatever our conscience is telling us. But in the end, we will be responsible for whatever activities we do. He is not responsible because he is just witnessing. And sometimes whatever we want to do, he sanctions, and at other times he doesn't. So it's not automatic. Sometimes things get he sanctions things, and at other times he doesn't approve of things. So we become frustrated. Here in this line, he says, Prabhupada says, we have experienced that the personal soul in each and every entity. We have experienced that the personal body of the living entity exists due to the presence of the spiritual spark. Without the existence of the spiritual spark, the body cannot develop. So, you know, this is actually a sign. In the sense that, you know, many, if we go outside, we speak to many people, they will say that there is no soul. Can you show me soul? You know, they say that there is no soul. But how is it scientific? In the Vedic scriptures, they have given some description about this, about who we really are, which is we are soul, and also how to we can understand about the existence of the soul. If my friend passes away, just an hour ago I saw him standing and we had a conversation. But an hour later he is on his deathbed. He's dead. But he's still my friend. So, but previously we had good exchanges, we were able to speak, and now I'm crying for him. So what has happened? It is the same body. Externally he looks exactly the same. There's only one thing that is missing, which is there's no more consciousness in him. So this is how we can perceive whether soul exists in a living entity, consciousness. And the symptoms of the existence of the soul besides consciousness is there is birth, there is growth, there is sustenance, there is procreation, that means expansion, and then there is dwindling, and then finally death. So if you see these symptoms existing in anything, then we can understand from there, yes, there is a soul present. So earlier we were reading from Prabhupada nectar, where Srila Prabhupada was actually disgusted that one of his disciples had cut a tree down. He was disgusted because he saw that there were still twigs, no fresh green leaves coming out, growing from the tree. So, and he was disgusted.
why someone had cut this tree down. So he was seeing that there is existence of the soul and there was unnecessary violence being committed. There was no necessity to commit that violence, yet no one of us had cut down that tree and he was disgusted. So, you know, and others say that, you know, some animals and plants do not have soul, only human beings have soul. But scientifically speaking, like I was saying just now, if we see that these six symptoms exist, then we know whether that the plant, which also has these six things, and also the animals, which also have these six things, also contain a soul. There are souls in each of in these living entities also. When they are dead, the soul is no longer there. The last paragraph of the purport, the three Purusha avatars are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. They are also described in the Sarvata Tantra. Vishnu, Sutrini, Rupani, Purushatyani, Ato Vidu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests three teachers as Karananda Kashaya Vishnu, Garbhada Kashaya Vishnu, and Shirada Kashaya Vishnu. This we just discussed. Briefly, just simply. No, based on my simple understanding, it's much more technical, and I'm haven't comprehended enough to be able to repeat. The Mahavishnu or Karananda Kashaya Vishnu is described in the Brahma Samhita. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the beginning of this universe, the maintainer of the universal manifestation, and the end of all energy. So here he starts speaking of his opponent, and basically he repeats, right? He says that I am the super soul, I am the beginning, the middle, and the end. And after this, He talks about, you know, for commoners who have difficulty accepting Krishna, that Krishna has a form, or to help people understand the greatness of Krishna, the following verses are spoken. Krishna says, of the Adityas, I am Vishnu. Of light, I am the radiant sun. Because this is by comparison, you know, what is the brightest thing that we have seen? Obviously it is the sun. So of light, he says, I am the sun. Then of the Marut, that means of the wind, I am Marichi, who is the wind god. And amongst the controlling deity of the wind is Marichi. And among the stars, I am the moon, because the moon is the brightest of all the stars. Of the demigods, I am Indra, because Indra is the king. So in this way, these are meant for the commoners, for common people like us, to try to understand the greatness of God. There is one verse in the Mukunda Mala Sutra which actually gives. I found it very nice. You know, gives a benchmark. You know, often we hear people say, "Oh, God is great," and here Krishna is trying to describe, you know, the superlative of everything, superlative of light. Is the sun, superlative of the wind, superlative of wind, that means blowing of wind, superlative is the controlling deity of wind, Marichi. So like that, there is one verse in the Mukunda Mala Sutra by Kulashekra Alvar.
This is Sutra 14.
Prithvirenuranopayanti kanika palgu pulingo labhu tejo nisvasanam manut tanutaram randram sukshmam nabha shudra rudra pitamaha prabhrataya kita samanta sura drishte yatra satarato vijayate sripada dhulikana.
Just hear this. Once our Savior has been seen, so I repeat, what I'm trying to do is try to put a benchmark when we compare Krishna. Usually, you know, when we, you know, photographers, when they take pictures for the newspaper, they are trying to highlight, when they want to make certain points, this is what they do. You know, just recently, I think towards the end of the year, there was a big hurricane or some storm on the coast of Australia in Sydney. So much so that there was this big, huge super tanker that was grounded at the beach. So this, and there was a picture of this in the Straits Times. It showed that there was this huge tanker in the beach. So they show the beach and they show this huge tanker. So, but to make it more succinct, they made sure that they also captured in that photograph a person in that picture, so that we know how big the ship is. Because when we see a picture and the vast ocean, yeah, it's a ship, yeah, it's big. But when we put a small person, you know, one man in front of a grounded super tanker is so small, then we really appreciate, wow, that's big. Super tanker is so huge. So similarly, this is the type of comparison that I'm about to read. Here, once our Savior has been seen, the whole earth becomes no greater than a speck of dust. So, whole earth, nothing more than a speck of dust. Next, all the waters of the ocean become mere droplets. You know, I'm perspiring, so one drop. So all the oceans of this in this world, if just like a droplet. So this is the comparison between everything in this material world and Krishna. See the vast difference. And then the totality of fire. What's the biggest fire that we have seen? The sun. And what is the sun in comparison to Krishna? Just a mere spark. And what about the wind? The wind becomes just a faint sigh. The wind described as just a faint sigh. We have all Katrina and the various types of hurricanes. What are they compared to? And in comparison to Krishna, they are just like, not even, that's a strong sigh, just faint sigh. And then, the expanse of space becomes a tiny hole. Great lords like Rudra and grandfather Brahma become insignificant. And all the demigods become like small insects. Indeed, even one particle of dust from our Lord's feet conquers all. So you see this comparison? So now, you know, everyone says God is great. Now there is something to compare. Right? So God is great. Okay, everyone, yeah, God is great. So now there is some comparison. Fire. You know the sun, we say, wow, the sun.
so huge, right? It is the sum total of all fires. And that sun is just a spark. Just a minute, not even, it's just a minute spark. That's how great Krishna is. And the wind becomes a faint sigh. Waters of the ocean, mere droplets. Nothing. So I found this very nice, so I thought of sharing this. I've heard this before on several occasions. This, and I remembered it and I thought to reiterate it. So this is how we share. We share about Krishna. We share about Krishna's opulence. The more we hear about such opulence about Krishna, the more attached we become to Krishna. Now I've not spoken so much about Krishna today. I've stressed the importance of wanting to hear about Krishna. Hear about his opulence. That is why he has described these opulences. And by hearing about these opulences, about him, we become more fixed up in wanting to do service. So it is important that when we come to this program, we must be mindful. No, I've come for a purpose, not to mark attendance. We've come to hear Krishna Katha. So that should be at the most important thing on our mind. Secondly, also take part in kirtan. Because we may not be doing kirtans at home, or if we are, we may be doing it alone, or at best with two or three people with our family members. When we are doing it alone, it can be quite difficult. But when we do kirtan with many others, it becomes so much more pleasing. When we glorify Krishna in association with many devotees, we derive more pleasure. On our own, even when we chant, it's difficult. But when we sing kirtan, loudly sing kirtan, then some little fleeting maybe, but some little pleasure we may get. So this is another thing we want to be particular about when we come here. And thirdly, we must take prasad. So these three things, we come, we must hear, we must take part in kirtan, must sing loud. When we sing, not only are we creating faith in ourselves, but also we create faith in others. This is why we want to sing loudly. And we hear Krishna Katha so that we become more and more fixed up in what we are doing, and we know this is what I'm not doing this, no one wants to do, so I will do. And then inside I'm feeling, see, nobody wants to do. See, I'm great, I'm doing. So we lose, what will happen is we become less and less conscious that actually what I'm doing is not because others are not doing, I'm doing. Rather, I'm doing because I want to please my Gurudev. I want to please Krishna. I want to try and please Krishna. That's what I'm doing. We want to develop that consciousness. So this is very important. And this is why we want to hear about his opulences. These are some of my thoughts on this subject. Hare Krishna. I invite questions and comments now. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu. Forced to act
Krishna. Yes, not only we have, we are being called to reap what we have sown. At the same time, while we are reaping, we are also creating more karma. Because the activities that we are performing is not in relation with Krishna. So any activity that is not in relation with Krishna, even while we are reaping, for example, I may be born in a poor family and I may be, whatever. So I'm, my whole life, right, I'll be just after trying to satisfy my belly, right? So during and having that human form of life, I'm after looking for my basic necessities. So if there is no tinge of Krishna consciousness, or no Krishna consciousness at all, what is happening? We are just accumulating karma. So there is burning up of karma, and at the same time just accumulating more karma. So both are happening. So, but we are also, at the same time, we are also being punished. We are, so our punishment is there, and at the same time we are accumulating more karma. So it is not that it is just burnt off. While we are burning out, we are also accumulating more. Does that help you?
No.
Perhaps someone else could answer.
Gauravat Sadhana Ki Jai.
Ananda Guru.